Today's daf is daf Yud Zayin. We begin from the Mishnah Halacha Bet. Hakonesh Deyanot Betoch Shel Chaveiro. If someone purchased two trees in their friend's property, then all he did is purchase trees. Harei ze lo kana karka. That's according to Chachamim. Meaning, according to Marafolda, he says, you didn't buy any land with it. Therefore, v'havei ki ilu kana alapeir, all you did was buy it for its fruit. Ukeshiavesh, and when it dries, yakrena v'yalech. Or you can just take the wood and go. That's it. That's all you bought. All you did is buy trees. However, Rabbi Meir says, no, two trees, now kana karka, you purchase the land with it. So we'll explain how this means in a minute. Therefore, if you didn't kana karka, higdilo, if the branches start growing out further and further over the field, we say, then higdilo lo yashpe. Then the bal hasadeh or bal orchard, if you want to call it that, is not able to cut them back. Why is it not allowed to cut them back? So I'll just explain in Marafol. It's loik sorts of otam bala karka. Afalpi, despite the fact the shade might be damaging to his crop, right? Shatzorala beit hashlachim, the kevan lo karka, since the bal ilanot, the person who bought the trees, doesn't have the ground. That's all he had was the trees. Harashi bedlo sadehu, the owner of the land is meshabed the land, to allow these trees to be there, because by just selling him the trees, not the land with it, you've been meshabed the use of the land while the trees are still on it. That's effectively, and therefore you can't cut it back. Okay? It's sort of like Shama, that's why it's purchased. It's assumed as part of it. Similarly, Halemina Geza, that which grows up from the trunk, that would be Shelo, the owner of the tree. Min HaSharashim, if it grows out from the roots within the land, well, since the land's owned by the Balabait, it goes to the Balabait. Now, I've explained trunk and I've just translated straight trunk and roots, but there's a discussion where that is, because as you know, roots can sometimes be above the ground. So exactly what that means, we'll get to in a moment. The metal ain lo karka, and therefore, if the trees die, then he doesn't get the land. However, Chachamim say once someone purchases three trees, kana karka, he also purchased the land with it on which these three trees are situated. We'll discuss how this works soon. He did. I mean, how far does it go? But we'll get to that soon. Higdilo. If the thing starts growing out of the area of that land, it's like growing into someone's neighbor's property, so the Bala Sadeh can cut it back. Different situation. And Haolamisharashim, it comes out of the roots in the ground. Well, it's his land now. The person purchased the trees, so therefore that would be his. The Meto, if they died, well, Yeshlo Karkri, he has the land and he can grow trees, he can replant there. So that's understanding that once someone purchased three trees in somebody else's property, he purchased the land amongst it. Now, Gemara says, the question of what's growing from the roots and growing from the trunk. If you remember, if you only bought two trees, there's this difference where the new branches or shoots would come from. So he says, that which sees the cell, which literally means the shadows, but what we're trying to say is there's no sunlight, which is under the ground, that's considered the roots. And the hareta chama, that anything that is above ground, that's considered minageza. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Chama bar Ukva says no. Says Beshem Yob Yossi, Ha'olem min ha'sharshav migizo, zehu shorsho. Meaning, even if it's coming from the geza and the shorosh, if, for example, where it's the way the Marafold explains it, he says, Makom shitchilash toret likanes lakarka. Meaning, as it's going into the ground, even if it's above ground, it seems to be that would be considered still the shorosh. However, migizo, velo mishorsho, if however it's just mamash from the geza, then that was ilan. That's, if you like, part of the tree. That's mina ilan. Okay, and that's a discussion. That's basically the debate in the Mishnah, what's considered coming from the roots and what's coming from the trunk in terms of where do we draw the line of what belongs to whom. So Amrav Yochanan, okay, if you purchase three trees, he gets the land between them. V'chutzah, and outside it also kemelo or rav v'silo. Kemelo v'silo means you also got a perimeter around the trees, for which the ora is the picker, the farmer, and his basket can stand. So there's a certain distance he can have there. Now the Gemara, however, questions this. Rabbi Lazar says, he argues Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "V'derech ein lo kamul ora v'silo yesh lo chutzala." Now he says, "Well, let's apply a principle that we've seen previously in our learning. That is, if you sell, oh, again, Kor Chachamim, if you sell a well to your friend in within your field." Does he have access as part of the sale? No. Mocher ba'ein ra. So in this situation, it would follow that if you sold three trees, yes, he might get the land, but it's like a well, he doesn't have access. So he's right, unless he explicitly purchased access to get to his little plot of land that's embedded in your field. Okay? Otherwise, you can take a helicopter. That's what we'd say. You have to purchase access. It's not part of the sale. But you see, for therefore, he's saying, which is more necessary? What's more necessary is access over basket space, because basket space, he's saying, according to Marfordi, if you want to pick fruit from the tree, you can climb the tree. Who says you need to stay on the ground outside beyond where the tree's hanging? So he's saying, if you don't get the access to the tree, kavachomer, you don't get the extra area outside the trees, lo'oravasilo. That's the argument, therefore, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Okay, next halacha. This is now halacha gimel, next Mishnah. Ha'mocher et rosh ha'behemah gasa lo macharet ha'raglayim, macharet ha'raglayim lo macharet ha'kaved. Sorry, I missed the line. Lo macharet ha'rosh. What this is saying is, what's considered, if someone buys, because again, in those days, no refrigeration, things like that, you wouldn't necessarily purchase a whole animal. You'd purchase parts of animal from a butcher, or it'd be distributed in such a way. It'd be very expensive just to shech the cow for a steak on Shabbos. So what we're saying now, if someone sold, like a butcher sold, if you like, the individual sold the head of an animal, well, it's all he gets is a head. He doesn't get the legs as well. Or et ha'raglayim lo macharet ha'rosh, these things indistinct and independent, if you're talking about a large animal. Macharet ha'kaneh, kaneh literally means windpipe. Marafulda says all sorts about other things that attach to it, like lungs, heart, things like that. He doesn't get the kaved. Kaved is a liver. Macharet ha'kaved lo macharet ha'kaneh. If he sells the liver, it's distinct from other parts. Now, that shouldn't be anything surprising. That's all you purchased. And what we find is that it says if it's coming, referring to a behemah dakah, which is a small animal, like a lamb, sheep, and the like, goats, that's considered small compared to cows, then no, certain you have an ikar tav, certain things come along with each other. So what would that be? Macharet ha'rosh, macharet ha'raglayim. If you sold the head, the feet would come too. Macharet ha'raglayim, lo macharet ha'rosh. But in other words, there are secondary and primary things in such a sale, so if you sold the legs, you wouldn't get the head. Macharet ha'kaneh, macharet ha'kaved. If he sells the kaneh, windpipe, and all the other vitals attached to it, then the kaved would come with it. Macharet ha'kaved, that's considered secondary, therefore, no macharet ha'kaneh. That is the Mishnah. Let's look at the Gemara. Amocharet ha'rosh, macharet ha'rosh, gasa. So Rabbi Yitzhak Sha'al, machar chetzi rosh, machar chetzi raglav. So I just want to show you here. The reason why I got excited about this part is, if you remember before, I think 2 shiurim ago, there was all these cases of Sha'al, 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 and I was sort of deliberating because the Perush and Marafulda says actually, well, it didn't seem to be such a question. It seemed to be more like a statement. This is a halacha. Whereas the simple reading says Sha'al, Sha'al, Sha'al's questions. And it was a couple of shiurim ago. But what we see here, there's a Perush and Marafulda says, when it says Rabbi Yitzhak Sha'al, it says, Kol hani Sha'al lav davka. In other words, you see here, it makes me more comfortable with the shiur we taught before, is that sometimes you have it, even though it says Sha'al, it's not really a question at all. Ela kacha lacha. So maybe it was posed question, like I'm not sure why you use the term Sha'al, but you understand Sha'al's not Sha'al. So again, that may be a side point for this, but I just makes me more comfortable with what the share I gave previously. Anyways, Sha'al, he asks, well, let's state this if you like, Machar Chatzi Rosh, Machar Chatzi Raglaim. What if he sells half of the head, this small animal? That if he sells a head, the feet come with it as well. But if he's Machar Chetzi, he sells half of it, then also he sells half of the legs as well. So that, in other words, half goes with it. Machar Chetzi Keneh Chametzi Kaved. Then, well, you'd probably take that out, but let's continue. He says, Nishmini Mahadi, we can learn to see it from the following. Pardon me. He says, Machar lo yad kamochahi, rosh kamochahu, b'nei ma'ayin kamochahu, nonen la ko'en ve'enu menakemin adamim. So this is what's happening. He's selling parts of the body of this animal that has with it matna kohuna. That are normally to give it to the kohanim. So if you sell the head, the jaw is meant to be given to matna kohuna. So if a butcher sells a person a head, the lokeach has to give that part to the kohen, but he can't now go to the butcher and say, you've got to deduct the price of it. Okay, all he did was machar et head. That's it. It's done. Similarly, let's look at the other parts. Machar et machalo. Okay, machalo yad, say a full leg. Well, the zroah, the foreleg, the bottom part, is meant to be given to the kohen and matan as well. Well, nazamanek, so kamochu, rosh kamochu, and b'nei ma'ayin, the whole stomach, intestinal tracts. We know the keva, one of the stomachs, is also a matana kuna, or kamochu, not nan la kohen. But in other words, not nan la kohen, give the parts of the kohen, b'nei ma'akelo min adami, so you don't ask for your money back. However, lakhan b'mishgal, if it's purchased by weight, meaning I want a kilo of head, and he gives him the whole head, then you can deduct it. That seems to be what the Mishnah is teaching there. But what you see here is that the there's different ways to see what the deal and the proof is, but the Mara Fulda says, I'll just show you here. That situation, the ratio where it says, it says, V'seifa, it talks about by Mishkal. He says, I have a better way of doing a chiluk. Should the chiluk should have been in the first case? I mean, depending what I sold it complete or sold it chetzi. Okay? That makes no difference. So he seems to understand that just as the full head, you give him the full head and you don't do the subtraction. So too, if he's selling half a head, the person receives half a head and he wouldn't attract the share if you like that's meant to give into the coin. Okay. That's a who I didn't kind of in the Mechira, etc. etc. Okay, fine. So that's his proof. They got me from other explanations here. Let's continue. This is the Halacha Dalet. Mishnah says, Arba Midot Memochrim. There's four, if you like, situations you have a sale where there could be issues. Meaning, Machar lo chitin yafot. Let's say he sells him nice, the understanding was to sell him nice wheat. Benimtza ra'ot, and they're found to be subpar. Then we say, or bad, we say, Halokeach yachol lachzor, but the Lokeach was misled. He was provided a product that was below the standard it was agreed upon. It's like or not, therefore he can go back on the deal. Ra'ot yafot. What happens if it was the deal was I'm getting this low grade and end up being supplied the yafot? The mocher can say, "Oops, that was a mistake, and I'd like to have it back." Yafot. What if it was agreed to be ra'ot or yafot, and that's exactly what was supplied? Then ein echad mechem yachol lachzor, then they can't go back. Now, why would you think otherwise? So the answer is because the way Mara Fulda explains it, he says that, listen, sometimes people, when they're negotiating, they'll say, oh, I want that, that's low quality. They're only worth such and such. I'm only willing to pay such and such. When really they wanted to have a high quality thing. So you might think that I said low quality. I didn't really want low quality. I was just negotiating. No, you said low quality, you got low quality. It's binding. That's what the Mishnah had to come tell us. Same with high quality, meaning it could be that the Mocher is trying to. Oh, this is the best you can find in Bet Shemesh, right? And it wasn't really, but he was just saying that to up his goods, and the person bought it and ended up selling the best in Bet Shemesh, and the guy thinks he made a mistake. Oh, that's not what I meant. No, I'm sorry, you said it was the best in Bet Shemesh. That's what you sold. The deal is closed. Okay, let's continue. If it was the type of grain, if it was different colors, so shrimtit, different explanations, aduma or chum, if it's red or brown, we'll have these discussions if there is like a difference in red and brown and things like that. And it ends up being white. Now, in that situation, some people like one and some people like the other. It's like when you can't get potatoes, the red potatoes and the white potatoes, right? So, and lavana, you buy wood, you wanted olive, and it ends up being sycamore, vice versa. Yain vin sachum, it's chum, so yain will try to purge wine, it becomes vinegar, or other way around. Then shnei yochlim mechazovo, because both of them may not be happy with the deal, and therefore consider mechatov for both of them. Okay. Amacher par lachavar or mashach v'lomada. Let's say someone sells some fruit to his friend. He does meshicha, but doesn't measure it. So just to explain, we're talking about meshicha here. The Mara Fulda says, mirashut harabim lesimta, a side street. Or we're doing in a chatzar shishneim, and a property that's two of them. In other words, it has to be a domain where Mashiach can acquire, because that's when it requires. Even if you didn't measure it out, they agreed on a price. We'll get to that in a second. That once he's Mashiach, aval Mashiach b'rishut harabim lo mahani, he says. So in other words, Mashiach without measuring, it's koneh. Madad v'lo mashach, if he measures and doesn't do Mashiach, then lo kana. So just to explain, kagon, this is Mara Fulda says, kagon shepasak. We're talking about lo mitchila bakach bakach. It was they already agreed that for the sitcha such a price, I'm going to give you such and such a volume. That's when we say you did meshicha while medida you acquired it, but if you just measure without doing meshicha, you haven't acquired. Now there's no ma'aseh kinyan. Measuring is not a ma'aseh kinyan. Aval lo pasak lo adam im afilu madar. If you didn't, they didn't come to any type of agreement. Even he measures it and pulls it towards him, because he didn't, they haven't had what's called gmiras das, meaning they didn't really have full acceptance he's going to do the deal because he has no idea what the price is. The mocher might say, actually, today's deal is twice the price. I thought it was yesterday's prices. So you know, the whole question of whether it's mocher by mashiach and everything is only if there's already agreed price. They've already discussed. They know exactly what we're doing. That's, you know, for example, you're going to shop and you go shop. You're picking up a product. Look at it, and that's on. That's you might. It's not a. That's an amaisa mashiach or anything. You know, like you're not doing kinyan. So the Gemara says. Now, the purchaser of pikeach is clever, and he wants to ensure that it'll be his. He can socher at makomo, because then he can say, "Look, I'd like to rent out the space under here, even though he hasn't had a chance to do the actual meisa kinyan, because then it can be a kinyan agav the karka that is rented." Okay, halokeach pishta mechabro. Some purchases flax or spread, and it says, "Harei ze lo kana ad shital tenem mimakom lemakom." He has to take it from. He has to do a. He has to hagba. He fills it up. Okay. Now that's what Rav Marfulda says, because he says the orach of the milk and naka, because generally if you do hagbah, you're moving it from place to place. So, but the inyan is not just moving and it's doing hagbah. If it's still attached to the ground, v'talash kol shu, and he just takes a little bit, then he's koneh. Now this is interesting one. It's a bit of work, because I'll show you here. The Marfulda says in the Bavli trying to mock you like a god, because in other words, if it's a product, that's how you have to do mashiach on it, no? There's no kinyan, like when we're talking about kinyan agav, he hasn't rented the space. So what we're saying now is here is mokel lak gon she'am. This is Gemara says in Bavli she'amala mokel lelokeach v'yapeli. Sorry, karka kosher. Do some sort of improvement to land. V'kaneh kol mashalav. So in other words, he's basically done sort of a chazak on the land, and through that he has purchased all the flax is growing. Since he's, if you like. Scharo is paid, if you like, to do malacha, but karka on his own land. Vasala malacha indeed some sort of malacha kosher. Who kanas chirato v'kana nami oto davar shrotzer laknot im schiruto. Okay, so it's like a kinyan through, like it sounds like through this chazaka through the land and agav the schirut and exactly the dynamics of mutro. But if we're trying to find it, the basic we're trying to work out the mechanism through which he can corner all of it by simply doing a only tiny amount. Okay, there. So just that's just to correct it here, because otherwise you think once again it's how can you corner that by just pulling one thing out? Fine. Next, if someone's selling wine and oil to his friend, and it goes up or down, or in other words, and he's filling it up prior to the mida being filled up, the mocher, then the mocher can back out. However, it's a mida has been completely full, the measuring thing is look out. Now the question is, why so? Whose kli is it? The Gemara will discuss that, so I'll delay the explanation. Hayas sarsu benehem, if there's an intermediary working between them, and the chavit breaks, nishpara la sarsu, then the sarsu is responsible. We're assuming the sarsu was negligent here in his handling or something, is responsible. Now, chay, and when he's measuring and pouring out, it says, chayiv latif lo shlosh hatipin, he has to. Because you know, there's different liquids stick to the sides, and do you have to stay all day? We're holding it upside down, so everything drops out. No, 3 drops is sufficient. However, hirkina or matzat, if he leaves upside down to get it all out, hareze shel. Sorry, the remainder. Sorry, hareze shel mocher. So I just got cautious here, because the different there's a different girsa that it should be the mishnah to lokeach. So if you say hirkina matzah hareze shel lokeach, it must mean that if you let it drip out, then it should go to lokeach. And presumably, if we've got the mocher girsa here, it means that if the sale's already done and he happens after to pull it all out, must be that's probably what's happening here. Anyway, there's no, I didn't see any perush specifically on that. Okay, let me see. Yeah, I'll show you them actually. Pnei Moshe, I didn't notice before. Itat mida let tzedah acher, she'ira of the tipin. V'chakach nitasef mitzat mida shel shuli. Then we harei zeh shel mocher lefi she'alokeach nite'esh mimon. Exactly. That must be the gifts we have here. The Rishami's printing of it, if you like, is that the lokeach's already gone. Since he already dropped 3 drops, the gauze is mityash from everything left over, the mocher can keep it. Okay, let's get in. V'achin bani. What about a shopkeeper? Einu chayv, he doesn't have to worry about even this shloshat tipin. Okay. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shloshat Belel, sorry, Belel Shabbat, on Erev Shabbos, really, that would be, im chasheicha, towards Shabbos, where it's, that's when it's, then it's when it's hurried, then patur. Now, exactly what Rabbi Huda's case is referring to is going to be discussed in the Maris, so I'll delay the explanation there as well. Let's continue the Gemara. Arba midot b'mochrim. So, the next piece here that I have in my edition of the Oz V'Hadar, not an Arthros printer, but like much of the editions we've seen, takes us back to Masechta Bava Metzia. And there it was talking about whether one can kind of go back on a deal. Now, this was if the price has changed and the like. And then it brought our Mishnah that seemed to be that only one party can go back. And the answer was there that it related to the discussion of if you're noseh b'davrim, ein mosrim lo mishapara, that if you're just negotiating, you can go back on a deal, there's not even a mishapara. Remember, we discussed that. But, I'll leave that here because you don't have it printed and the Mefarshim don't really make reference to it. So I'm not sure. Let's just continue now from what you do have printed in front of you. This is first. Hey, this is for example. In other words, this is the case where he's filling it up, and we said that as he's filling it up, if hasn't and the prices change, and before he's finished filling up the middah, the measuring container, the mocher can close there and it's his. But once it fills up, no goes to lokeach. The Gemara said, what's the case? If the middah was belonged to the mocher, chazak lemocher, even if it's filled up. And if it's l'shel lokeach, if the jug, the measuring containers belongs to the lokeach, every drop that's falling in it belongs to the lokeach. So how can you have this distinction of when it's completely filled or not? So Rav Yehuda says b'shem Shmuel, the Rav Las says b'shem Yehuda, kene matnita, or Yehuda Bavi, I think it is, says kene matnita b'sham midah le'adam acher. This is referring to where the midah itself belonged to somebody else. And I'll just read the Pnei Moshe on the Mishnah. He says, and somebody else owned it, and he lent it to them. And in the lend, the conditions of the lending was as follows: until it's filled up, I want it to belong to. It's. I'm lending it to the mocher. But once it's filled up, fine. I want. Hooray! It belongs to the lokeach. Therefore, hilkach calls manchi b'shut ha-mocher while it belongs to the mocher. Lo kana lokeach. It doesn't belong to lokeach. Therefore, he doesn't acquire it. However, Mishnit Malei Tamida, once it's filled up, now it's being effectively lent out to Lokayach, and therefore it's purchased. What Rashi are we talking about? We're talking about could go once again a simta, a side alley or chatzar sheshneim or a shared area by both of them, or Rashut or even Rashut Shalokayach, because in those three Rashiyot, the Kalim of the Lokayach acquire. Okay, you have to be in such a situation. Okay, but again, it probably have to, it's a funny situation where the Kli has been lent out to really both of them, and it's different times belong to people. That's why. It's not the filling up of the kli that affects the sale. It's because at that point it now belongs to lokeach. Okay, that's really the point. Okay, let's continue. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer Leili Shabbanim Chashecha Patur Mipnei Shehu Rashut. Now this is really important because it's explaining exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is arguing about. So if you have a look, Tani Rabbi Yehuda, I'll show you my full. It says a kai apa pluta of gimel tipim. The drops coming out. In other words, it says in the Reisha, if you're selling something, you've got to make it three drops out. Now, the way Rabbi Yehuda is saying, now what the Gemara is saying is Rabbi Yehuda is going on that statement. That on Leil Shabbat, you don't have to even worry about that. Sounds like everybody. So Rabbi Yehuda is being more makil. However, what he points out in the Bavli, it's different. In the Bavli, it says actually it's referring to the Sefer. Meaning, even a shopkeeper has to worry about, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Chachamim, shopkeepers never have to worry about the three tipping. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the whole week they always have to worry about it. It's only a special call on Erev Shabbos when everyone's very rushed. So, again, that's two ways of doing it. Now, Yerushalmi clearly understands to talk about the Reisha. We're talking about Kol Adam, right? It's more makil that Ol Adam, even Erev Shabbos, doesn't worry about the three tipping. Okay, now, this Maitaima, interestingly, is this. The Marfulda says it's referring to the case of the Sarsur, this intermediary, where he's then, if there's an intermediary in between, he's Chayef. Says, my time away, Amri Yehuda says, Im Sachirhu Ba Bischaro. So that's referring to a responsible Nosa Sachar. So I'll show you, we'll continue Marfulda we left off. He says, Milt Rabbi Yehuda, or Yudan, Kai Asirsur. V'keivan Shehu Moded Bischar, since he's being paid as intermediary to the measuring. Then, therefore, Havelei, he's now a Noser Sachar, is like a paid guardian. Because he is paid to do it, that's why he has this high responsibility. Which is interesting, because that's the case. He doesn't even have to be negligent to be Chayiv. Because a Shomer Chinam, if he's negligent, to be Chayiv. Right? It would be Chayiv in the case of Patra only Gneva Veda and Chayiv Emet or Nishbara or things like that. So even if it just breaks simply normally, he would be, sounds like be Chayiv. Right, I think that's what I think it's out there. I think that's the conclusion of the sugya. Let's get into this. This is halacha. Hashaleach et beno, etzel chenvani. If someone says he's beno hakata is a katan, to a chenvani, umadad lo beisar to tell him with a, gave him a coin as well, and he because he wanted to purchase a isar's worth of shemen. But what happened? This chenvani madad lo beisar shemen. He ended up filling up the oil. Benatan lo isar and he gave him the coin. So he took the coin. Shavar et atzluchit. The tzluchit ends up breaking. The kid takes his split and it breaks. Viberitzar, and they lost the money. The chenvani is chay for absolutely everything. Now, why would he be chay for everything? So let's explain the marafolda. He says, b'shemen, he's chay in the shemen, the oil that was provided, the tzluchit, the flask as well, and the money. Why? D'lo shalach, you understand the chachamim, d'lo shalach av et beno katan. All he was doing by sending his kid to the shop was elachame in lo dialei to let him know that he wants oil. Lo shilach lo shishalach shema, not that he should send the oil back. This is spent all with his child. So therefore, the chenvani is negligent by sending the flask back with the with this flask back full of oil. Ah, what about bavli maksha? The Gemara bavli asks the following question: Amai chayev a chenvani atzluchit? Why is the chenvani chayev for the flask itself? Aveda midat, because the father who gave this flask to the child to take to the shop. It was Aveda Midat. He was negligent himself by giving such this glass, if you like, container, whatever it was, to the, or probably the earthenware container to get this done. Sharei hu atzmo shilach, he gave it to his son. So, in other words, above at this stage, so I can understand where the money took. He took the money away from him. If something's lost, it's your fault. You were negligent in giving the oil to the son. It was never, the father was never happy to give him the oil. But why are you chayv on this tluchit? This flask in which it, the container. The father himself is negligent. The Gemara Bavli says, because in the situation where the chenvani, while he had the flask, says, oh, fantastic, I'll just use it and measure out for other people as well. And once he does that, he's considered, is a sho'el shlo midat, he's considered someone who borrows without asking. Hilkach naseh is considered a gazlan, and therefore it's kamav rishutena is chayav for anything that happens to it. Ad mahadalema until it's returned mamash to the hand of the owner. Even if he gave it to the, if this is afagab the mahadrin the tinok, even if he gave it to the tinok, lo miftarminei, he's not pater from it. In other words, the flask is more of a technicality of the situation that he was shalosh al midat, therefore it's considered like a gazlan. However, Rabbi Yehuda pater, he says he's pater on absolutely everything. Shalmanak ken shilchol, because he understands that we don't say that when the father sent this young child to the shop, it was just to tell him I want the oil. He said he wanted the child to pick it up and bring it home. So therefore, therefore it's all responsibility really on the father. Now, Umar Chagam Rabbi Yehuda, Chagam Giv Rabbi Yehuda, Bezman Shatzuchi Biyad Tinok, Umadan Chinvani Tachor, Chinvani Patur, Patur on what? On the Tzuchit, to be careful. Chagamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda, at the time where he didn't handle and use the Tzuchit, he just poured it straight into the Tzuchit, then the Chinvani is not responsible for the Tzuchit, he's not a Goner, he's not a Shol Shol Midad anymore, he's not a Gazlan, and therefore when it comes to Tzuchit, he's Patur. The oil's probably still Chayim, the money, absolutely still Chayim. Fine. Next, Hasiton. This is a wholesaler. Mekaneach, when he has to clean his measures, achad lo shloshimo, once every 30 days, presumably because there's a lot of stock that's going through it, and we consider the stuff that's sticking on the sides, and it'll end up distorting the measures. Ubala bayit, since he doesn't use a lot of things, then achad lo shnimasa chodesh, enough that he cleans his measures out once every 12 months. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, no, absolutely opposite. Why? Because he understands that when it comes to a siton, there's a lot, it's constantly being used. So the likelihood of congealing is much more reduced than a balabait. So therefore, the balabait has to clean it more frequently versus the siton. Next, hachenvani mekaneach, a shopkeeper has to clean his midotav, which is paim b'shabbat. That is, he has to clean his measures pa'amayim, which is twice a week. Again, lots of people coming through his shop and the like. Umemachen is to wipe off his mashkelotav, his weights, pa'am echad b'shabbat. Umekanech also has to wipe down his mozinaim, his scales, al kol mishkal for every single weight. Okay? Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, b'med v'ramim, whence it's a case, it's belach, aval b'yesh inu tzarich, because he does not worry, because like dry products, say on a scale, would clean off very quickly, and it won't leave much residue. Okay. Now, v'chay l'achri tefach. Now, here we're talking about when you're measuring things out, it's very almost impossible to get a perfect measure. I mean, today's scale is getting better, like with electronic stuff, it's different. We're talking about measures and things like that. But so therefore you've got a machria, you've got to let it go down, meaning the product side of tefach. Well, it's quite a lot. But again, you have to water the size of the scales. And also we're talking about if it's a significant volume, a litra. Okay? I'll show you here. It says Machriatev Mishkal Litra Ba'ilach. If it's a large weight, larger, not weight, large volume. Let's continue. Now, however, if Hayashokel Ein Be'ein, if you're doing trying to do exactly perfect, Notella, you've got to give him Girumim Achad La'asara Balach, V'Achad La'isrim Be'yavesh. You've got to give him Hachra'ato. You've sort of got to compensate him for the fact he should have got more, which is Asirit Litra Shuhu one, which is like 1%, Achad La'meya. If you're selling Lach and if it's Yavesh, it's even it's half of that. Okay, let's continue. B'makom She'nagu Lamud B'daka Lo. In a place where they would measure out midot ketanot, as in small measures, you cannot do a large measure. Why? Because every time you're doing small amounts, the lokeach is benefiting with the hachra'ah, the extra bit you have to compensate him for. So if you do it in one go, there's only one bit of compensation, and therefore he loses out. In a place, however, where they're doing large quantities, then you can't measure in low quantities because then the mocher is losing out, the seller. Limchok. In a situation where they usually smooth off the measure when they sell it, you should not sell yigdosh with a large amount, even if it's willing to pay him extra. And ligdosh, in a place where they sell it heaped, you cannot sell it smoothed off, despite the fact he's willing to reduce it. And that is effectively that's a Mishnah. And Mr. Shem, next year we'll look at the Gemara. The Gemara picks up from actually the middle part of the Mishnah. That's why I spend more time explaining the earlier parts because it picks up the middle part of the mission. Okay. We'll see you later. Have a good day.